welcome into another episode of the Comics Experience Make Comics podcast, the podcast where we talk nuts and bolts of making comics. My name is Joey Groh, and I'm joining Andy Schmidt. Hey, Andy.
Hey, Joey. I'm joining you.
Hey, this is the first time we're recording in 2015, and we're a week late for those of you keeping score at home. We took a little bit of time off to travel and see family and friends and do some occasional making of comics. Along the way, we had talked about this episode being the New Year's resolute with a couple of different topics to kind of run down, looking at planning and looking at 2015. It is that time of year where I think we still qualify. You're still thinking about how you're going to approach the year and what goals are. So kind of goal setting and how to approach said goals. Before we started recording, we were talking about a number of different topics that we're finding interesting as of late, but I think, Andy, if you want to kick off, you know, kind of work-life balance, if that makes sense as a starting point.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's just going to turn into the whole episode, but yeah, it does make sense. So here's the thing about work-life balance. Like a lot of what I've realized is that a lot of people seem to think there's some sort of magical combination of activities or time charts or whatever that will make that is perfect. And I'm here to tell you there isn't. There is no perfect. What there is are levers, or what there are, I guess, are levers. So you know, for me, I mean, we all choose what our levers are. For me, it's making my own comics. It's doing work to pay the bills. It's comics experience and teaching and all and that. It's spending time with my kids. This is not all totally in prioritized order, by the way. spending time with my kids isn't that far down on the list. Spending generally more time with my family, traveling, health, exercise. You know, that, you know, just the general stuff that goes with maintaining a household. You know, household chores, cleaning, all that stuff, and of course spending time with friends. So that there you've got like these multitude of levers. Like I feel like my guess is that's not going to be that far off from a lot of people listening, is that they've got, you know, they've got their day job, they've got the writing or the art that they want to do, they may have some classes they may want to take, you know, their family obligations, all that kind of stuff. So you look at your levers, and then what you do is you adjust them as you go. And the thing is you're never going to, and if I'm wrong and somebody's figured out how to do this, please chime in and let me know. But there's no thing where it's like, okay, I set this one to 3, I set this one to 2, I set this one to 5, I set this one to 1, and then they all just stay there and everything works perfectly all year round. Right? It doesn't go that way. And so, you know, what I'm finding is that priorities shift. And if, you know, I downshifted my writing, that after a while, that's going to build up and bug me enough that I'm going to push that lever further. But that means something else is going to give. Right. And, you know, recently I had a run on a lot of my contract work, which is essentially the stuff that pays my bills and feeds my family. So that stuff gets a pretty high priority. And when it bulks up and there's a lot of it, that's great. But it means other things have to downshift. And it bulked up enough recently that I downshift, you know, I stopped working out, which, by the way, is a really bad idea.
Very bad idea.
The one thing I'll say about working out is that, or exercise, or however you think about it, and eating, you know, reasonably healthy or very healthy, is that that's the best way to boost your energy.
Right.
So if you get and improve your sleep, so you're getting better sleep, so again, you're more alert throughout the day. So if you wind up doing what I do, which is, oh my gosh, I've got all this work, I'll cut out my personal writing, I'll cut out this, and I'm going to cut out exercise.
Right.
I wind up shooting myself in the foot. Because then I'm not thinking as clearly and blah, blah, blah. I really can't, I like exercising regularly and eating decently. And I, you know, I still go out to eat and stuff, but like doing that on a regular basis has improved my ability to do everything else. I'm able to spend more time with my kids, better time with my kids, the freelance writing and consulting work that I do, I tend to be able to do a little better job and in a shorter amount of time. So that's like the one thing where I can say I absolutely know that's the one thing you don't cut out. And it does not stop me from cutting it out.
Sure. Same here. In the last couple of weeks, I went off the rails and have since course corrected. And I was thinking about this yesterday while I was running. I never get back in from exercising and say, well, I feel worse. It's always something that is a mental reset, as well as your body just starts to feel better, even if you're dealing with a little bit of not feeling so good once you remember to get back into the swing.
Right, and I think you're more creative. So if you're being resolute about doing a bunch of stuff this year, which most of us, you know, our reach, you know, is, you know, our goals are often larger than we tend to achieve. But if you have large goals, if you've got milestones you want to hit, so exercise is going to improve your chances of hitting that. But the other thing is that I'll say is that I have learned not to get upset when priorities shift. So, you know, so in my case, if I have to downgrade something for a while, I downgrade it and I don't get mad. Like, I don't set goals for myself where there's, I put some sort of emotional, you know, attribute, to it or sticker to it where, like, where I punish myself if I don't hit it, because I am aware that things shift. My kids get sick and they're at home. Well, guess what? I'm not going to achieve all my goals that week.
Right.
One of the things I do with my deadline work is I try to get my work done several days prior to the deadline. So I'm essentially giving myself padding. Whenever possible, I will work on a deadline project before a project that's more open-ended, so that I don't miss deadlines. In the 2 years I've been totally freelance, I've missed one deadline. Mm-hmm. And usually I'm well under them. And the one deadline I missed, I did properly, where I, you know, I saw it coming and contacted them and they were fine with it, and they were quick to offer an extension, so it wasn't an issue.
Yes.
But yeah, that was nice. It was great. And it was one of those things too where it's like, well, usually you hit your deadlines and you come in under, so sure. Take an extra 3 days. So it was nice. But yeah, those are the things that I've found is that don't punish yourself, but choose your levers. And if you're sitting around watching TV at night and you realize you don't like the TV you're watching, or you don't really care if you see the end of that show, then get up and go do something else that you do care about. Because we waste a lot of time doing things that we don't care about. My father tells this story that I'm going to retell quickly about the Lord of the Rings books that he read. He read the Lord of the Rings books when he was in college. He read Fellowship of the Ring, got through Two Towers, and he was into Return of the King, and Frodo and Samwise are on their way up to Mount Doom. They've got the ring. It's the climax of, like, the culmination of, like, 1,000 pages of fantastical lore. Mm-hmm. And my dad realized he didn't care. Mm. Did not care if the ring got destroyed or not. Didn't care if Sauron took over Middle-earth. Didn't care if Frodo lived or died. Did not care at all. And so it turns out he was about 50 pages from the actual, you know, end of the story. And he set that book down and has never picked it back up because he had better things to do and has had better things to do apparently every day since. And, you know, it's just a funny story, and it irritates the kind of my oldest brother because he's a huge Lord of the Rings fan. But it actually seemed pretty relevant to me in terms of prioritizing things. The other big time where I realized about time management was when we were on target to have a baby coming up, and I kept having these, like, you know, I'm not going to be able to do this anymore. I'm not going to be able to do that anymore. Like, these, like, little mini panic attacks. I'll never see my friends again type stuff. And I wound up talking to one of my brothers, and he said that it's not that you won't see your friends anymore. It's not that you won't go to the movies anymore. It's not that you won't, you know, read novels anymore or read comics anymore. It's that you will prioritize them differently. You won't read as many because you're going to be shocked at how many comics are really kind of mediocre, but you have the time right now, so you read them. You'll keep your top 50% or 25% or 10%. And you'll do the same thing with TV, and you'll do the same thing with movies. You're not going to go to as many movies, but you're going to choose the movies, so you're going to see only the better movies, theoretically, unless you're really bad at judging the ads. You know, and that was really interesting, and he was right. You know, and it wasn't something I really, you know, analyzed. It was just, yeah, okay, I got this baby, and I was a stay-at-home dad for the first year with our eldest, and he was right. You know, I spent all day with my son, and then we, and then if I got a chance to go to a movie, I made sure I was, you know, I did 10 minutes more research to determine that was the movie I wanted to see, as opposed to, I'll see any one of these three. It was like, I'm going to go see that one. You know, it was that kind of thing. And if I'm going to sit down and read some comics, I'm going to put the ones that I think are going to be the best at the top. And it wasn't too long before I realized that the stuff at the bottom was just sort of staying at the bottom. I didn't have the time to get to it. And then I knew, like, okay, well, I'll cut out reading those types of comics that I feel that way about. And it extends across the board. And what that was is a position of not having those levers all in place, but actually adding a new lever. Mm. And as soon as you add a new lever and crank that up, you got to adjust all the others, you know, along with it. So, but it was still sort of the using that lever analogy properly. You know, I mean, it was still that same sort of situation. But it's okay for those things to change. It's okay to take a break. It's okay to pull way back on some things. I mean, isn't that what a vacation is, right?
Right, right.
Where you take your work lever and you shut it down to zero, theoretically. You know, so that's so those are good. You know, and you look at it, and you know, I keep the, I think we talked about this before, I keep a spreadsheet that tracks all of my hours on all these different projects, including personal projects, and I can track like my workout time and all that sort of stuff. And you know, and then I look at it at the end of the week, I add it all up, and I'm like, look, I did 5 hours more on this project than I did the week before. I did 2 hours less on this one. I did 6 hours less of working out, you know, or whatever. So that's what I'd say. I told you this was going to wind up taking the whole thing. I guess we're going to have to do New Year's resolutions again next time, when we get to the other parts. But yeah, time management is just it's this thing that everybody struggles with, and so many people think there's some sort of magic solution, but there isn't, because we are not stagnant beings. We are creative people. We age. You know, one of the things that I learned recently, because I used to put there used to be certain things I used to do at night. I used to like to write, like, my own personal stuff. I used to like to write after the kids went to bed, and I'd write till like 1, 2, or 3 in the morning. I'm old now. I can't do that. But it took me like a year to figure that out, where I do all my stuff during the day, put the kids to bed, you know, hang out with my wife for a little while, and then say, okay, I'm going to go write. And I'd write for like half an hour, and I'd be like, I'm done. I can't concentrate.
Right.
As opposed to writing for 3 or 4 hours. And it took me like a year to figure out that wasn't just like a short stage. Like, that was just like, dude, you're old now. So yeah. All right. I feel like I've babbled. Have I babbled, Joey?
I think we're talking about time management. Our guest is Andy Schmidt. No, I think it all makes sense, and that's something that so many people, not just within their comics careers, but also within their day to day lives, that are creative people, you do still try to block out the time that you think, from 1 to 3, I can get X, Y, and Z done. And you can't, because life happens within the hours of 10 to 12. And then that just right. throws off the whole day.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it's a prioritization. It's a biting off more than you can chew. And, you know, in some ways, I think at the root level, as long as this isn't something that kind of gnaws at you and frustrates you, and you are getting done your goals in some form or fashion, I don't know that it's a problem to necessarily try to do more than you might be accomplishing. I was reading an article the other day about the difference between somebody who is busy in kind of the, I need to be busy to feel like I'm doing something, and someone who has a different kind of time management over that busy. And I think those are two really good points about how you're getting your work done and what work you're getting done. And that's something that took me a little bit of time to kind of process through and realize that most of what I feel like the habits I've had to develop over the years, being in a small business, have led me to the, I'm not just doing pointless busy, I'm doing busy that has an achievable outcome at the end of the day. And getting to that point, you know, I didn't just start doing it. It took some time and it took some self-reflection to realize, how are you actually getting things done in a way that's not just maintaining, but setting up for creative growth or business growth down the line in a way that you're not going to look back at 2015 and go, oh, you're still in the same place doing the same thing. And I think right. that, you know, to put that to comics, I've got at least 49 original pages coming out this year. You know, is that huge? By some standards, no. There are people that write or draw many, many times that. For me, as a guy who's trying to balance another job and doing comics, it's going to be my highest output rate of finished pages, not necessarily written pages, but finished and produced. You can hold a comic or download digitally in your hands a comic. And even getting to that point took me a little bit of time to realize about prioritization. And, you know, yeah. it's all a culmination of 2014. You know, it's all a culmination of 2013, of learning where to put what, when. And when I looked at my 2015 and said, what are you going to do in 2015? I was like, well, I'm going to finish Dark Patterns. If that syncs up for the artist schedule, we'll put out, you know, another 44 pages of that. And then there's this one thing that I'd really like to do that might come to fruition. And then there's about 5 pitches. And from there, we'll see. And that's, you know, looking at it now, it's kind of like, why aren't you doing more? But I know realistically, those are achievable goals that I can do having a small business, expecting a child, and just trying to sleep every now and then for the next 12 months.
Yeah, right. And keeping your eye on the larger picture as well as, and that's tough, like making sure that you're moving generally the boat forward. You're not just cleaning the deck, but the boat is staying in the harbor, right?
Right.
You know, that's tough to do, but it's certainly worth, you know, doing.
Sure.
and learning how to do it is tough. I think the other thing I was going to say is that with time management, one thing that I've learned, and I have the luxury because I work from home and I have multiple projects and that sort of thing, is sometimes it's just not clicking. Like the thing that you think you're going to do that day or for that hour or two is just not clicking. And I have learned not to fight that, because I can sit and stare at a computer screen for 2 hours and get very, very little done if it's just not there.
Right.
Sort of like this sort of nebulous thing. So in those times, what I do is I keep an active list of, you know, other things. Usually smaller tasks, often more physical tasks, even if it's just cleaning something out or doing,
right.
or, you know, arranging the office or whatever, and straightening things up. But it could be just go do a full workout and come back, and I'll still usually be able to get to that thing during that day. It just may not be where I had it scheduled because something's off, right? It's just not there. And what I've figured out is just if you have the ability to shift gears and go do something else, don't fight that.
Right.
Go do it. Make sure you get back. I mean, there's a point where not feeling it turns into procrastination, and really you're just procrastinating. And you got to be sort of aware of your line there. But I do think that that's something that a lot of people struggle with. But as somebody who has also had my fair share of day jobs, I know in a day job, that's not really how things work
right.
for a lot of us, right? Like it's not like, I'm not feeling like making these hinges on the factory line anymore. So I'm gonna go hammer something over there. You know, that obviously is a different sort of scenario, but it can still apply to things in your life outside of a day job, if you don't have a day job where that's doable. But that was worth mentioning.
For sure.
The other thing worth mentioning, Joey, is that Comics Experience Publishing's first comic book comes out this month. Will be in comic book stores near or near-ish to you, since they're not comic book stores near everyone. I believe it is on sale the third week of January. Creature Cops #1, Special Varmints Unit.
Creature Cops number one.
By Mr. Rob Anderson from the Creators Workshop. And so that's going on sale soon. So please, everybody listening, check it out. And we're having actually our first submissions from the first open submissions from the work. I say open, which does not mean open to everyone, but open to members of the workshop. Just opened today as we are recording, and submissions are already coming in, which is pretty exciting.
That's excellent. I know people are very excited to start submitting, and the lineup of books that are coming out, including Rob's, are so cool and diverse. And I think I've read the majority of them, and they're all so distinct, and that's been really gratifying to see, both through CE and IDW, that such a diverse kind of bench is happening. And not that I doubted that, but sometimes you wonder what something is going to come together as, and to see so many different books coming together, it's been very cool. And yeah, I encourage people to at least check out the solicits and check it out in the store, because Rob, I know, has worked on Creature Cops for a very long time, and as somebody who he's juggled multiple careers at some points, and to make something come to fruition like that is pretty terrific.
Yeah. All right. Well, this took longer than we expected, and we only got to like one New Year's resolute,
but we knew going into it that was the way it was going to happen.
We'll tackle more. Hey, if you want to know about your New Year's resolute, write in and tell us what your New Year's resolute is, and we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it on the show, or you can at Andy Schmidt at Comic Experience on Twitter. Is Andy Schmidt, and I'm at Joey G, which is also a fun place to talk about New Year's resolutions and being New Year's resolute. It certainly encourages me.
All right.
All right. Well, if you do have a question you want to submit, send it to info@comicsexperience.com, and we will talk about it on the show. Send in your resolution. Send in what you got going on. That's always fun, too, to see what people have planned for 2015. Please share.
Yeah, tell us. And if it's okay to print or audio or whatever, let us know, and maybe we'll talk about the different stuff that people tell us they're doing. So write in, let us know.
Can we have a fake Stan Lee answer it like it's the old Marvel letters page?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
One of us will be ghostwritten Stan Lee. That's 2015. You heard it here first. All right. Well, until next time, keep making comics.